Welcome to the Day One Podcast Extra. This is Peter Wallace, and with me again today is the Reverend Dr. Scott Black Johnston, Senior Pastor of Trinity Presbyterian Church in Atlanta, Georgia, and a former professor of preaching at Austin Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Austin, Texas. Welcome, Scott.
Thank you, Peter.
Last time we talked about Trinity Presbyterian Church and some issues in terms of mainline churches, but now I want to talk about preaching. How would you describe your own personal preaching style?
I am very textually based. I like to look at the scripture, and I read it a lot and try to memorize the passage, actually, that I'm preaching on. And I try to look at the world through the lens of that text. What does that text tell me about the world in which we live, both the world on an international scale, national scale, and in local, what's going on in the congregation, and in what's going on in my life with my family and my friends. And that's the kind of – that's the preparatory work that I do, and I try to bring pieces from that preparatory work into the sermon. I don't know. I think texts a lot of times are a mystery to me. Why did somebody write this down? Why did they think this was a story that was worth telling? And that's a lot of what fuels my own interest in preaching is why? And if I can get at that, if I can get myself into that sort of place where I could say, I see why this was important to somebody. I see why this told somebody something true about God. Then I think I've got my hands around what could be a sermon.
Is there anything that you taught or emphasized in your homiletics classes that you would take back today and now that you're preaching in the real world, or has it been a validating process?
People have asked me a lot, you know, what would you do different now that you've spent 4 years in a parish? What would you do different if you were back teaching preaching? A couple of things that I would emphasize more. One is preaching takes time. And if you're not willing to put really clear sort of boundaries on your schedule so that you can read and write and think, it's really hard. And you know, pastoral burnout is a big issue that we all talk about. And one of the reasons that it happens, and one of the reasons why we've got so much plagiarism out there, is the fact that people get to Saturday and they don't have a sermon yet. And you've got to make the space in your week. And so I would plead with my students and ask them to be real careful about how they organize their lives as a pastor as being a crucial thing. I would still, Peter, I would still emphasize the importance of biblical study, of theological reflection, the need for, you know, ethics, you know, all that kind of seminary stuff that sometimes people make fun of. I think it's important. It's grist for the mill. It's wonderful material that thickens our knowledge of who God is and of what these texts are about. And I find people hungry for sermons that grapple with complicated issues, not just looking for surface stuff.
You have a wonderful pastoral staff, so that may help you with this question, but how do you balance the preaching role and the pastoral role? How would you advise a pastor wrestling with that?
I'm a finite being, as are you, as are our listeners. I do hospital visits, and I do counseling, but I limit that. Usually when somebody comes for a counseling session with me, I will refer them to one of the many fine counseling centers that we have in Atlanta for ongoing counseling, because I could easily spend 50 hours a week counseling in the congregation that I'm in doing counseling. And that's not why they've called me. They've called me to reflect on the Word and to do preaching. The way that we've set it up at Trinity, every person has one day a week when they're responsible for hospital visitation and visiting people that can't leave their homes. And I think it's important, whether you're preaching or doing education, that you be immersed in the pastoral lives of your congregation members. So I would never cut that out. But it's also not the only thing that I do.
Let me ask you about the distinction between your personal spiritual disciplines and sermon preparation? Do they run together? How do you handle your own personal spiritual life? Or is it all just part of a whole?
It really is part of a whole for me. I don't want to sound pious in this, but for me, the holiest part of the week can be my textual study mm-hmm. and writing the sermon. There's something about the pulpit, the kind of claim that the pulpit makes on me, the kind of ethical claim that the pulpit makes on me, that I find myself being held to a sort of level of honesty with myself and with the people that I love and with the text that I'm studying that I really try to be faithful to. I know that I'm not perfect and don't always achieve it, but in terms of my spiritual disciplines, that working on the sermon for me is a holy time.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you this, and not necessarily from your pulpit, but is there a message or a word that you think people today need to hear more of from our pulpits?
I think one of the lost virtues in our society today is humility. I see that pervading churches and government, politics of both parties. I think scary moments in history make us run to ideals that we have and to hold them so tightly that we lose humility. And that's one of the things that I'm struggling with, personally, too.
That's an interesting comment, and because I know a lot of preachers wrestle with that. How do you maintain a sense of humility when you're kind of up in front of people in a major role?
Right. I mean, everybody knows the stories of preachers with really big egos are legion.
Right.
I don't profess to be an expert on humility, but a lot of the preachers that I know find humility in all those folks who, well-meaning or not, are willing to send you an email pointing out where you've made a grammatical error or a historical error or where you have offended them. And I'm a pretty sensitive guy when it comes down to it. And so I can receive 5 good emails and 1 bad email, and I will obsess about the bad email, you know, for the next couple of days. And I guess I'd put it this way, Peter. This is an answer to a question you once asked me before about what's different between the seminary and the church. Mm. In the church, I find that my own personal ego space runs from being very inflated. Somebody comes in and tells you, you're great. Your preaching has, you know, brought them to God. It's helped their spiritual lives immensely. You're the best thing since sliced bread. And the next person who comes in to say, you know, I think you're going in the wrong direction. You've ignored the historical principles of this church. You're a coward. And somewhere in between those two is the real truth, is the real person. Mm-hmm. And that I think is an appropriate kind of humility.
Do you think preachers in this time should assume a more prophetic role in their preaching? You mentioned the fact that Trinity has a history of being prophetic and preaching justice. In this time, it seems like there are a lot of issues that need to be addressed. Is that the preacher's role, or is it the church as a whole? How do you approach that?
I think that's a great question, and a question that every pastor out there should be wrestling with in this time. The way I would answer that is I'd first say there are people out there in the pews, and pastors too, who assume that what it means to be a prophetic preacher is to preach a sermon that makes people angry. And maybe there's a little truth in that, but that's really not getting at, I think, a good definition of what prophetic preaching is mm-hmm. is all about. Another way to put it, I have folks who would think that I would preach prophetic if I would confirm their political leanings and trample on the political leanings of those they disagree with. That's real prophetic preaching. To me, it really does have to do with taking a look at issues through the lens of the faith and saying, where is it that we as Christians need to speak out, sometimes in criticism, of the structures around us? And whenever you're going to speak out in criticism, you got to be careful that you're not doing so out of hatred or disdain, but are doing so out of love. I think that's our responsibility as Christians. But I'll give you an example. Trinity has recently taken a stance against torture, against the torture of prisoners who are held by our government. We did it not to kind of, you know, pile up on any one political figure, but to say we think that as Christians, we cannot condone activities by this government that would be involved in the mistreatment, the physical abuse and mistreatment of prisoners, no matter how terrible they are, because of the very fact that Christ told us to love our enemies. We may need to, you know, hold on to folks who are going to harm people, but we should never be involved in mistreating them. And that was hard for some people to hear as we've processed through that, because they thought that it just had to be a political attack. But that was not what motivated it. It really was to say, listen, as Christians, we just got to say we can't be doing this.
Mm-hmm. Well, what does it tell us about our society that a church has to wrestle about whether to come out against torture? That's pretty
right.
That's kind of.
I know. There's part of me that did think this is a no-brainer. This is.
But I can understand why it would just automatically go into a political thing.
I think we are at a very difficult juncture in human history. I think we live in the midst of fear, and that fear controls our actions. It is the common denominator, and by denominator, I mean it's that bottom line that we all share, and it's right there that can be tapped into, yes, by politicians and by other institutions that would seek to motivate our actions. And I think that's why we're in the moment that we are. Mm.
Well, Scott, let's leave on a more positive note. What is the joy that you derive from preaching?
In the Gospel of Luke, chapter 4, Jesus preaches. He goes into the temple. They hand him a scroll from the book of Isaiah. He reads it. Then he sits down on the seat of Moses and begins to preach. And he takes that passage from Isaiah, and he says, this ancient prophet, because Isaiah was ancient to them then, says, this ancient prophet, the stuff that he says, it's coming true now. And I think all preachers participate in that ongoing phenomena. Mm-hmm. We take these ancient texts and we say, they have something to say to us now. And it's not a word of fear, actually. It's a word of hope and joy. It's a word of a God who continues to engage us. That, to me, is the exciting thing about preaching. It's this notion, and this is my Reformed Presbyterian background, but it's the notion that God keeps encountering us in the act of preaching. That, to me, I find incredibly life-giving and important.
Scott Black Johnston, thanks so much for spending this time with us.
Thank you, Peter.